Resolution urging the President and Congress to enact legislation and take other federal government action related to interim storage of used nuclear fuel. Senator Kolk, very nice to see you in front of the committee.
Thank you, members. There is a technical amendment, and maybe we should do that first. It's actually words that have to do with defense. Anyway, I'll let Mr. Fuller, and then we'll just move that and get that going.
Mr. Fuller.
Madam Chair, members, the intent of this resolution was to deal with commercial waste. And so on line 1.7, after sites, delete everything up to the semicolon. So you delete end defense-related high-level radioactive waste from defense sites. That's 1.7. On 1.16, delete after fuel, end defense-related waste. And then on line 1.22, after fuel, delete end defense waste.
Thank you, Mr. Fuller.
Senator Koch, and just reason that was a technical error?
It's just technical. We're worried about commercial, so I suppose, you know, perhaps others are concerned about defense, but that's not a Minnesota issue. So.
Okay. Any questions from the committee on those oral amendment? Okay, great. And we can just go ahead and adopt that with the bill. Oops, wait a minute. We have one more.
Oh, there's a reference to Miles.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Fuller.
On page 2, line 17, after fuel, delete end defense waste shipments.
Thank you, Mr. Jensen. Good catch.
Teamwork.
That's Craig's guy.
Well, actually, I think Senator Cook will go ahead and make those oral amendments and move those changes. We do not have a quorum, though, at this point,
okay.
So we'll have to do that a little bit later.
Yeah, when we get...
You'd like to go ahead and...
Sure. Well, members, today we're here to discuss a very important aspect of nuclear energy in the state. Currently, ratepayers in the state of Minnesota and around the country have paid in to the nuclear waste... fund, $30 billion. And the idea was that by 1998, we were going to have Yucca Mountain, a permanent repository for nuclear waste, up, running, and the waste will be transported to Yucca Mountain. Well, obviously, here we are, 2012, and 14 years after the 1998 date, $30 billion later from ratepayers, and this is not ratepayers just in areas with nuclear power plants. This is ratepayers throughout the state of Minnesota. And the rest of the country, and we've had no action. The waste is not moving, and it's being stored temporarily at reactor sites in the state of Minnesota, one in Monticello and one in the city of near the Prairie Island community. So this resolution, we're gonna have a discussion. There's been two sort of events that have happened since last year when we talked about the nuclear moratorium. One, we talked about the president put together a blue ribbon panel to discuss the nuclear issue and how to resolve some issues. And then secondly, of course, there was the tragedy in Japan. And so spoke with Senator Rosen, and we thought it would be a good idea to have someone come and speak to both those issues, which were substantive events that occurred since our last discussion on nuclear. And then I wanted to put forward a resolution asking President and Congress a portion of the Blue Ribbon Panel. One of their recommendations was interim storage. They're calling it consolidated interim storage. And we'll get a presentation on that. But this resolution asked them to move forward with that recommendation. And I think that's extremely important. I still believe that permanent repository, and it's really just not even my belief, it's going to be required. Permanent storage is going to be required. But at this point, it feels a little bit like everybody's at, we're in a log jam, or the sink is clogged, and we need to have some action that gets things moving. And the thing that needs to get moving is the waste that is being stored on site at sites in Minnesota. So with that, I think it's even more important. We've got some... local testifiers from Red Wing, Prairie Island, and Monticello. And I think it's important to hear from the people that live in the communities next, and then we'll hear from Nuclear Energy Institute on the two big issues.
Great. Senator Koch. Any questions for Senator Koch? Great. Okay. So Jeff O'Neill, administrator from City Monticello, could please come up. Thank you. And Shelley Buck, if you could please come up.
You can fill this out later. Okay.
Welcome, Mr. O'Neill. If you could state your name.
Thanks. Yes, my name is Jeff O'Neill. I'm city administrator for the City of Monticello. And Madam Chairman, just thank you for the opportunity to say a few words in support of Senate File 2187. On behalf of the citizens of Monticello, we'd like to express strong support for the adoption of this resolution. For the many reasons noted in the resolution, it is imperative that the federal government fulfill the promise of development and implementation of a system for storage of nuclear waste. Due to the decades-long failure of the federal government to address this issue, nuclear waste were residing at 104 locations throughout the nation for time periods long beyond what was expected when those facilities were sited. As a result, the negative consequences to the state of Minnesota and host cities resulting from this nuclear waste in our collective front yards will be felt long past the date of decommissioning. This situation was not part of the bargain when Monticello and Red Wing signed on to be host cities and really must be addressed. Located along the I-94 urban growth corridor, the city of Monticello has tripled in size since the 1980s. Monticello's businesses and industries have grown greatly, creating jobs and contributing to the economic development of the state. With this growth, Monticello's urban edge is now directly adjacent to this nuclear waste repository. The negative impacts of this waste site on the future development of the community will have significant harm to the city of Monticello and to the state in terms of economic development and growth to the future. So, in sum, adoption of this resolution will serve to apply pressure on the federal government to address this critical issue, and we urge its adoption. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today relating to this Senate file 2187.
Thank you, Mr. O'Neill, for coming to the Capitol, too. I really appreciate that. Any questions for Mr. O'Neill? Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Buck, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Shelley Buck. I am one of the government relations specialists for Prairie Island Indian Community. I'm also an enrolled member of the tribe. I'm going to read for you today some excerpts of a letter that to the committee that the Prairie Island Indian Community Tribal Council wrote out, and you will get a hard copy when we're done here. Prairie Island Indian Community fully supports the Minnesota Senate's resolution for the creation of centralized nuclear waste repository or repositories, which would allow the removal of nuclear waste from Prairie Island. Our tribe is among the closest communities in the nation to a nuclear power plant and its on-site above-ground spent fuel storage installation. 29 casks of spent nuclear fuel currently sit just 600 yards from our nearest residence. Our Lower Island residential area, our church, our community center, and other community facilities are located within 1 mile of the plant's dry cask storage facility. No other community in Minnesota or the nation should have to live in fear of nuclear power and nuclear waste the way our community does. When the dry cask storage facility at Prairie Island was proposed in the early 90s, we were told that it was a temporary measure to keep the plant running and plant personnel working until Yucca Mountain was open. 2 decades later, and 30 years after Congress passed the Nuclear Waste Policy Act that mandated a national repository, and still no national waste repository. Our community is tired of hearing promises that are always broken. Our tribe has consistently expressed concerns about the safety of long-term storage and dry cask that were designated for a minimum of 25 years with a life expectancy of 40 years. The number of casks allowed to be stored at the so-called interim storage facility at Prairie Island has been increased from 17 to 29 to 48. A total of 64 casks will be needed for the plant's 20-year extended operation, with 98 casks needed if the plant is decommissioned in 2034. What was promised to be short-term interim storage has become extended storage of more and more waste. We firmly believe that if Minnesota legislatures, PUC commissioners, and the public had been told that 98 casks, which is more than 2,400 tons of spent nuclear fuel, would be abandoned on Prairie Island for two centuries or more, the facility never would have been approved in the 1990s. Prairie Island is our only homeland, the land promised to us and held in trust for our tribe's benefit by the United States government. We cannot simply move our tribe away from the nuclear waste unless the United States agreed to place land elsewhere into trust for our benefit and relocate our reservation. We support the resolution and the Blue Ribbon Commission's finding that a permanent deep geological disposal facility is not only an essential component of a comprehensive nuclear waste management system, but that very long-term isolation from the environment is the only responsible way to manage nuclear waste. We want to thank Senator Koch and the committee for introducing this resolution.
Thank you, Ms. Buck. Any questions? Ms. Buck. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a couple general questions on the issue. Is all of the waste that's in Minnesota, is that our waste? I'm just curious about that. And every state sort of generates its own waste.
Madam
so
Chair,
we're looking
Senator
for
yes, Senator Koch. These are from the two facilities, the two plants that we have. There's actually two in Prairie Island and one in Monticello.
Okay. So we're looking for a place.
Senator
like
McGuire.
Thank you. Sorry, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. So we're looking for a place, as are all the other states, for a central place in the country, not in Minnesota, but in the country to store all of this. So I know it's a tough one.
Senator Cole.
Yeah. Madam Chair and Senator McGuire, that's correct. What the Blue Ribbon panel, and we'll have an even further in-depth discussion on that, has recommended, obviously we'll need permanent storage, but they have an additional recommendation. Their recommendation is that we need to get going now on some interim storage. And so that's what this resolution is saying. It's something that can get things moving sooner rather than later. And so this is asking the President and Congress to get going and moving on that solution.
Senator Koch, does the Blue Ribbon Commission, do they have guidelines or suggestions on how to get going on this? I mean, is this the resolution? It sends a strong signal, but is there any more direction from the commission?
Madam Chair, there's quite a bit, and they talk a little bit about a consent process, and they have several recommendations, and we can go over those. You'll actually should have a copy, I would think, of an executive summary of the Blue Ribbon panel, and I'm going to ask Mr. Marshall Cohn to come up and talk more in depth about all of their recommendations. This resolution focuses just on the storage piece because, I mean, obviously for Minnesota, that's a big concern.
That's right. Further questions? Sorry. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm reading the resolution, and it says recognize that there are willing host communities and states. Do we know which ones of those are?
Madam Chair,
really have some?
And Senator McGuire, also in your packet, there's likely several. One in particular that's been noted and has been very vocal, fairly vocal, is New Mexico. And there's some information in your packets about that as well. But this resolution doesn't specify even a location, and we don't specify the process. That will be for ultimately Washington to decide. But what we're saying is get on the deciding. Get on with it. You promised us this 14 years ago, and you've been taking $30 billion. You need to get something moving. And the other thing is, it would be a shame to see there's some recommendations of Blue Ribbon Panel, Blue Ribbon Commission. I would hate to see that sort of languish on a desk somewhere. In fact, someone had mentioned that there was talk about a study of the study now, and that just makes my head hurt when I hear that. And so we want to make sure that we're drawing attention to the fact that this is the report that we were waiting for, and we will expect action on what is in this report.
Senator Koch, at the $30 billion, and perhaps Mr. Cohen can answer that. What are they using that money for?
That's you, Mr. Cohen. Madam Chair, I think that's a question for Mr. Cohen. Ooh. There has been some spent. There's 30-plus billion collected that has not all been spent. Some of it is actually sitting in a fund. $23 to $24 billion is sitting in a fund, in a fund.
Senator Howe.
Oh, Madam Chair, they spent $10 billion on a hole in the ground somewhere.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I think about $600 million with interest is what Minnesota ratepayers have contributed to that fund.
And we're still paying.
There's a rate rider on that.
And that, Senator Madam Chair and Senator Howe, it's a great point. That's not the end. We continue to pay into this fund every time we pay our electric bill.
Mm-hmm. Senator McGuire's getting her head around this
one.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't often get to ask all these questions on this issue. And so back when we approved these facilities, I think where I heard it somewhere that we wouldn't have approved them if we thought we were going to have to store the nuclear waste on, you know, in Minnesota, that we only approved them because we thought the waste would be stored somewhere else. Is that correct?
And Senator Koch,
Madam Chair, Senator McGuire, I wouldn't, you know, and Monticello had said that as a community, they might have reconsidered their, they might have considered the siting of that. You know, this was not based on a promise from the federal government. There's the nuclear waste. I mean, there's an act, and they're required by law to have done it. That's why they're collecting the money. This is not some sort of kind of we thought they were going to do it sort of thing. This was in. I mean, they passed laws to take this waste. They have passed laws. They are taking our money. They're not taking the waste. Yeah. It's being stored in Red Wing, which is outside of Red Wing, near the Prairie Island community. And it's being stored in Monticello.
Right. There's something wrong with that.
So, yeah. Madam Chair, just
yeah,
comment.
Senator McGuire.
Maybe we're hearing from other people. I just think, you know, because I'm unclear where I stand, you know, I'm concerned about the nuclear energy issue because of the waste. And so, I mean, at some point, maybe every state's going to have to store its own. And, you know, I think we just always have to consider that when we're thinking about nuclear energy as an option, because if we have to store our own, maybe the public will think differently about it.
And we do have Mr. Cohen here from the Nuclear Energy Institute, and I think he'd be a good one to address a lot of those concerns also.
And Madam Chair and Senator McGuire, what I would say to that is I'm a big proponent of nuclear energy. I would assume that from your remarks, you're not a big fan of nuclear energy because you're concerned about the waste. As a proponent, I'm concerned about the waste as well. We all should be concerned about it. That's a byproduct of nuclear power, whether you support it or you don't. That is a reality. And so this, I think, is a resolution that you and I can come together around, and we can say, you know, wherever you stand on the issue of expansion or not of nuclear power, you need to get the waste moving. It is a reality. It is the folks sitting next to me know more than anything. It is a reality. Let's get it moving.
Senator Jungbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to answer kind of Senator McGuire, but maybe Mr. Cohen can get into a little more detail, But in point of fact, Minnesota has some of the best areas that could store underground in granite nuclear spent fuel. However, I believe somewhere in the mix that if we set ourselves up and license it, that we would end up having to take it from other places, and that's why we don't look at that. So it gets real dicey in how you look at alternative storage areas, and that's why we looked at this national repository. So there's all these other things that come into play. And, you know, hopefully Mr. Cohen can shed some more light on that. But it's not as easy as just picking a spot that would be good and
I believe
putting
that.
It there.
I totally understand.
Any further questions? Senator Howell.
Well, just Madam Chair, thank you. Just a comment. I was just going to say that, you know, the ratepayers have paid for it once. And we have this huge fund there. And now, you know, there's $20 billion plus, you know, money sitting there that has been collected and it's not being used. And then you have several lawsuits against the Department of Energy from these domestic generating facilities for breach of contract. So now the taxpayers are paying for this once again because the fund, the payment for these breach of contracts does not come out of the Nuclear Waste Storage Fund. That comes out of taxpayer. It comes out of Department of Energy fund. So we're paying for the government's inability, inaction, at least at a federal level, several times here. And I would feel much better, you know, we had a bill proposed a while back about keeping that money here in Minnesota rather than 1,000 miles away in Washington, D.C., where it maybe doesn't get spent judiciously. So that is an issue, and we continue to pay for it here.
Senator Brown.
Yes, Madam Chair, wouldn't it be more accurate to say that at least for Xcel ratepayers, they're paying for it twice with the RDF and with the other area? So
that's right.
That's correct.
$700 million fund there, too. Thank you. Any more further questions?
Good point.
We have more testimony, Madam
Yes,
Chair.
Yes, we have Peggy Rader from the Red Wing City Council. Thank you very much, you too, Ms. Buck.
Thank you.
Mr. O'Neill.
Sure, come on up.
Did I say your name right, Ms. Rader?
Yes,
Rader?
You did, which Rader. Is okay. Quite an accomplishment.
Oh, I'm so good at it, too. Well, this whole committee knows how good I am at last names. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Peggy Rader. I'm a member of the Red Wing City Council and sit on our Nuclear Waste Subcommittee. And I want to thank Senator Koch for her work on this. And I also want to thank Senator Howe for his work on this, which goes back to his time as the mayor of Red Wing. He's
did
not
you serve together?
No, I came on when he went off.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Good idea.
You're lucky. Yeah.
Thanks for all the support.
I didn't know Senator Howe was the mayor.
I was wondering about that, Senator Brown. Know?
Little known fact, Madam Chair.
But we know it well.
Like we all do, too, Ms. Rader.
Comment, Madam Chair. Positive comment.
I never make anything but positive comments. Anyway, the other group that I'd like to mention is we really do appreciate the partnership we've had with Xcel in working on this issue, both here in Minnesota and in Washington. And I know for me, as kind of a newcomer to the issue, I've gotten a lot of good, solid information from people like Senator Howe and people like Xcel. So I just want to thank all of those people. I think the thing I want to stress here is the federal commitment that they made to host communities, being Red Wing and Monticello, and the Prairie Island community, which is a sovereign nation, but which is located within the city of Red Wing. And so the concerns of Prairie Island are big concerns to us. I mean, it's not just the concerns we would have as a normal city, but also for them. And frankly, I view this as the federal government one more time breaking a treaty with an Indian nation. I mean, there is no question that they had that commitment with everybody. And I find that to be very disturbing. The BRC report that's been done on this is something that we really appreciate and feel they did an excellent job. However, the Secretary of Energy instructed the Blue Ribbon Commission that they were not to make any site recommendations, which did not allow them to recommend or not recommend Yucca Mountain, which, of course, is where all the money has been spent. And a question that came up previously that people may not be aware of is that actually the county in which Yucca Mountain is located, as well as the surrounding counties, want Yucca Mountain. They want the nuclear waste stored there. It is generally the Las Vegas area that has been opposed to it. So we wish the Blue Ribbon Commission had been able to go a little further with it than they were able to. I guess the other thing I'd like to point out is we are concerned about economic development for us, because if the city of Red Wing is going to expand, part of Red Wing that we expand in is the area going out towards the nuclear plants. And there are people that will come to town, think it's a beautiful city. They'd like to locate there, and then they find out we have nuclear plants with no end in sight for storage. And the other thing that we have not been able to get a handle on is the costs for public safety, which, you know, now the way the NRC talks, they seem to think they can leave those things sitting there for 200-300 years. So we're very grateful that you're moving this resolution forward, and the Congress and the administration will receive it, and I'm sure we appreciate all the help any of you can give us.
Thank you. Senator Howe.
Madam Chair, Council Member Rader, can you, in your estimation, could you explain to the committee why you think that the Blue Room Commission did not specify or make any recommendations on site locations?
They were instructed by the Secretary, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, yeah. Senator Howe, they were instructed by the Secretary of Energy that they were not to do that was not within the parameters of the committee. However, their charter did not say they couldn't do it, but they did follow the instructions of the secretary.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Ms. Reuter? Thank you very much.
Thank
for
you
coming
so much.
Up. Appreciate it. You're welcome to our committee anytime. Great. Senator Koch, any questions for Senator Koch? We do have a quorum.
Do you have any more?
Nope, that's it.
Well, then I do have one more.
Well, actually, no, I think we'll probably bring in Mr. Cohen, the Senior Director for the Local Government Affairs of the Nuclear Energy Institute first, and then we'll move the bill.
I think so. Madam Chair, I think you'll get he's got a lot of information on the Blue Ribbon panel, and I think you're going to get some good answers there. But, Madam Chair, could I move the technical, the author's amendment?
We can move that when we move the bill. It's just an
author's
amendment.
Just put it with it. All right, great.
Mr. Cohen, welcome. Welcome
back. Good afternoon, Senator Rosen, members of the committee. I am the aforementioned Marshall Cohen. I'm from Washington, D.C. I work with the Nuclear Energy Institute, which is the policy organization for the commercial domestic nuclear industry in the United States. Basically, anybody involved in the production of electricity through the use of the nuclear process is a member of our organization. The utilities, of course, the suppliers, General Electric, Westinghouse, Areva, the community colleges that train people for our industry, and a whole lot of other people. I very much appreciate the opportunity to be here and to speak. I also appreciate the opportunity to do that on a 50-degree day in March in St. Paul. So,
not bad.
I suspect you do, too. A lot of good points have been made, and some good questions have been raised, and hopefully I can answer them. Let me start out with just a couple of points. Our industry believes that the recommendations of the Blue Ribbon Commission, and especially two or three of those, one of them most importantly being the consolidated storage one and the other one having to do with the waste fee and the one having to do with the waste management, a separate waste management organization, those are very important priorities for our industry this year. We want to get policies in place and actions in place that can help move, use nuclear fuel. Now, saying that, it's important to understand our industry believes also very strongly that this fuel is safely stored wherever it is today, and that but we understand that there are concerns that many folks, many policymakers would feel more comfortable if it were moved. And in fact, the reactor sites were never designed originally to be a storage site for used nuclear fuel. And as Senator Koch alluded to, under current federal law, as of 1998, all that fuel is not supposed to be here. It's supposed to have been taken possession by the Department of Energy and moved, and the presumption was it would be moved to a federal repository, which was going to be the repository designed and somewhat built and now somewhat dismantled at Yucca Mountain. So we are very supportive of this resolution. It's very exciting for us to see that state senate, state legislature, however you do this, if you can, comes out publicly with this kind of position, because we are very concerned that as good as this Blue Ribbon Commission report is, it may get put on a shelf and not attended to in Washington. It was a very prestigious commission. It held a number of hearings throughout the country. It heard testimony from people from literally Maine to California, from experts. It was a bipartisan commission. The chairs were former Congressman Lee Hamilton, former National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft, and a lot of serious work went into it. So I've provided in the information we brought up the executive summary, which is a good compilation of the main recommendations, and they're kind of encapsulated in one box on page VIII or 8, which summarizes the legislative, what they're calling legislative recommendations they're making. And you'll see that the second one is authorizing consolidated interim storage facilities. A question was asked about whether actually is a community or two interested in hosting. You know, we believe very firmly that the only way you do these things is to have volunteer communities that understand what it's about, see it, and that the industry, the federal government, and the state government work with these communities so that there's a strong willingness to bring these in. We have been working especially with a couple of counties in southeast New Mexico who have publicly said they are very interested in hosting this facility. There is in New Mexico already in one of these counties what's called a waste isolation pilot project, which is, frankly, an American nuclear waste disposal success story. It's been operating for about 15 years. It takes transuranic defense waste, which is shipped to it from a variety of facilities around the country. That material is put into salt caverns. And there's these long, I've been there. There's these long tunnels, very dusty, with there's literally salt that over time encapsulates, closes in on the crate, the barrels that are put there, and you'll never get them back. That facility is very interested, and you can see the leaders there on that front picture of the Forbes magazine article that's also in your packet. They're very interested in being, frankly, the ultimate Yucca Mountain. They believe that the salt is a good place for this as a final repository. But they also have joined with a neighboring county to purchase 1,000 acres of land about 5 or 6 miles from the WIPP salt facility, which they would like to make available, and they've said so publicly, for a consolidated storage facility. It's a remote area. There's not much around there. These are two communities that fully know and understand are supportive of nuclear facilities. The other county has a uranium enrichment facility. There's another uranium deconversion facility coming in called International Isotopes. The community leaders have been to see storage at nuclear reactors. The governor of New Mexico testified before the Blue Ribbon Commission in Carlsbad, New Mexico, in January of 2011, that she was very open to these kinds of facilities. She would insist that they're based on sound science, as would we, and that the right kind of regulatory and inspection processes and all that take place. So there are encouraging words coming from the direction of the state as well. So that point is to say that, yes, there are interested communities, and we've actually been approached by some other places in the country who, as they've been watching this process, have said they'd like to have some conversations about maybe hosting. It's good economic development. What the folks in New Mexico fully understand is that if they get the casks for storage over a long period of time, they may well be the place where, if the country makes a decision to proceed with reprocessing of nuclear spent nuclear fuel, as a number of other countries do, so that we can reuse it, because there's a lot of energy in there, that facility, which is a massive multi-billion-dollar huge facility with a lot of thousands of jobs and all kinds of things, that facility would come there as well. And it wouldn't come within 20 minutes. It would come within 20 years or so, because the country has to make that political decision and policy decision. But nevertheless, they feel that they would like to be set up for that. They feel that they might be able, and there's some talk in Washington, to get a research and development facility along with the storage facility, because the DOE is going to be continually researching the fuel and what the best way is to manage it over long, long periods of time. And that then the WIPP facility is there for whatever byproduct might come out of a reprocessing facility. So that's the kind of thinking, long-term thinking and logic. But again, the point of the resolution, which we fully support, is to tell Congress that out there in the states, out there in communities that have the material being stored and with no future in sight, they need to look at these recommendations and they need to move forward. I can tell you that there are four senators, two Democrats, two Republicans, Senator Bingaman, Senator Feinstein, Senator Alexander, and Senator Murkowski, who are having conversations about this. Senator Murkowski apparently is going to go to New Mexico in April to look at some of the facilities there, and we're encouraged that there's some possibility of some language in appropriations bills or something this year to help move this along. So, again, the more that states can chime in and say this makes sense, move forward, we think the better the chances, and we fully support that and appreciate your consideration of doing that. I should take some questions.
Okay, Mr. Cohen. Why does there have to be another appropriation, if you don't mind, if there's $20 billion still sitting in a fund? Can't that be used?
Well, because they have, Senator Rosen, they have to, if you look at, you can't access that fund except for anything
Seriously?
But a Yucca Mountain. That's the problem. As Senator Howell stated, he's absolutely right. it's been probably $33-34 billion. 9 or 10 has been spent on Yucca. The remainder sits there, and since no money is being spent on the Yucca Mountain or the licensing process, that no one has access to that unless Congress changes the budget process to do that.
Are they working on that? That seems odd that there's $30 billion.
Well, those four senators are working on doing that. But in the meantime, here's the other problem, Senator. There's no legislation, substantive legislation being passed by Congress this year. And so the only legislation that may be passed is an appropriations measure. Appropriations measures are limited in terms of the substantive, what they would call authorizing language you can put in it. So they're trying to use that as the best they can to tell the Secretary of Energy, get moving on this, and we want some response and action.
Senator Howell.
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Cohen, I was wondering if you could direct me in this report where it talks about the IFACs, the independent spent fuel storage installations. You know, I know the city of Red Wing, when we looked at additional dry cask storage, one of the requests made by the local community there was that the IFAC be replaced every 100 years. And that was found to be, it was not a reasonable request to ask for that. And I'm just wondering where in this report it talks about how long the nuclear storage can safely be stored in a dry cask, you know, what their lifespan is, what their rating is, and then what the plans are for that.
Madam Chairman, Senator Howell, that is really, I just brought the executive summary. If the whole report is about this big, and I've not read the whole report to know if that issue has been dealt with. But what I can tell you is that the licensing of these facilities, ISFACs and storage facilities, is an NRC act, and the NRC has said that they are safely licensed for 40 years and can consider renewal at that point. So there's always discussion within DOE and NRC about what is the real life possibility of the casks and the storage, and we have heard talk of, you know, 80-100 years, but that hasn't been put into an NRC regulation where you can expect that. But I think in considering this facility, an interim storage facility, a consolidated facility, would have to be licensed by the NRC, and in going through that process, the issue of how long that license would be for, with respect to the ability of the casks to maintain their integrity, would be something that would be addressed and be part of the license that would be issued.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Metzen?
Madam Chair. Mr. Cohen, I think other nations are reprocessing these spent rods. Why are we not in this country doing that?
Madam Chairman, Senator, it's a great question. 10 people in Washington will give you about 14 answers.
We just need one good one, I think.
Yeah, don't we? In the 1970s, the President Ford, followed by President Carter, issued an executive order prohibiting the reprocessing of spent nuclear fuel in the United States related to concerns about proliferation. The process that is used now, the process that is used in France, and some other places, produces as a byproduct pure plutonium. Pure plutonium is considered something that the bad guys want to get their hands on. So it was those kinds of reasons. There is research on additional technologies. That technology will change. Secretary Chu said early in his term as secretary, he did not support the U.S. using that reprocessing technology. When those things get discussed in Washington, what's kind of called the non-proliferation community comes out, and so that's the issue. So the country needs to, in my mind, the country, for whatever my mind is worth, needs to make a decision that it wants to do reprocessing and then figure out the best technology that meets the various standards so it can proceed with that. But it is being done in France. They were going to do it in Japan. They do it in Russia. They do it in Britain, and so forth.
I'm sure. Yeah, the first thing I wrote down when I walked in here and saw the title to the resolution was Harry Reid. So, need I say?
Anymore.
So that's why I think we're going to have to really, that off-site, or not off-site, but New Mexico and other venues have to be really considered, because I think you'll probably block it for the next yucca.
Mr. Cohen has the Senator Jungbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Cohen, my understanding was Yucca Mountain and other facilities that we thought through, that part of that idea was to be able to bring the casks back out should we find a new way to reprocess them in the future. Is that accurate?
Yes, Madam Chairman, Senator Jungbar, absolutely. It was designed to be a retrievable facility, so that the way the material went in, you could bring them back out and then in theory do something like reprocessing and recapture the fuel. So that, again, is still – that's why – you know, one of the members of the commission, when storage facility was being discussed, said that she liked that idea because it would give the country a breather, and so that we know we have a safe place, secure, remote place to put these casks, and let's get down to the business of why are we going to reprocess? Because if you reprocess, your ultimate repository, it will look different than if you don't. Then it will look very different and have different requirements than what a yucca needed to be. The French vitrify. They put what comes out of the reprocessing in glass, and they put it down in some long holes in a floor that you can stand on. I've stood on it, so Senator Koch. And eventually they'll get it to somewhere else, but it's not they're not as obsessed as other places are.
Senator Jungbar. Have you seen that? Mr. Cohen, the Fukushima disaster, has that – tell us about the effects of that. Has that put a stalemate to some of this reprocessing, or to the smaller nuclear development, the portable ones for smaller municipalities? Where is that at, and has that somewhat been
Thanks, Senator, for that question. I actually think that because of the concerns and the stories, some of which were erroneous, that came out of the early reporting of what was going on in Fukushima, but all that has kind of got the attention of some members of Congress more so than before. What are we doing with used fuel? What's happening at our sites? The used fuel in the cask of Fukushima withstood everything. There was no problem there. There were early reports that the fuel pools were uncovered, and those turned out to be erroneous reports. But nevertheless, it began to raise questions from some members of Congress in whose, you know, states or districts there were reactors, and they began to be concerned about, if something like that happened here, what would we do, and do we have these casks here? And in the meantime, the Blue Ribbon Commission was kind of moving along. So I think it actually might give some impetus to some action, which is a good thing. In a broader basis, I put in there some information about what's going on with Fukushima in terms of the U.S. industry. There's a lot of work. We are working very closely with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which is going to be putting out a whole bunch of new recommendations and requirements and orders that the industry is aware of and will be working to implement. The industry is also taking steps, not waiting for those, to do a number of things in terms of additional disposition of emergency equipment, off-sites, and some things like that. We have a plan called the Flex Plan, which enables a number of different things to be possible in any emergency situation. What we will say is that, I mean, our industry will never say those things can't happen here. What we try and do is say that if they do, we are going to be prepared, and we're going to learn from the Fukushima events, and we're still learning, and make sure that we're adapting and doing that. Last year, interestingly, after Fukushima, we experienced in the U.S., the nuclear plant experienced the East Coast earthquake, which was only 10 miles from the North Anna nuclear reactor in Virginia, hurricanes in the south-southeast, tornadoes, flooding in the Midwest, all of which hit nuclear plants. And in every case, they shut down exactly as they were designed to be, as the operators were trained to be, and there was simply nothing happened. So we, you know, obviously we think the system can work, but we know we have to keep working at it. The other thing I would say is there are a lot more differences that we understand now than we did 6, 12 months ago, the way things were done in Fukushima. And some of them may go to culture, they may go to training, they may go to, you know, systems, governance, and things like that, that are not the case here in the United States in the way that the NRC regulates and the way that the industry tries to operate. I hope that answers some of your
questions.
That
brought more questions up, actually.
Okay. I talked too much.
And what differences were there? Are that a little more specific?
It appears one of the differences has to do with the fact that when some of the emergency events were taking place, the operators needed to get approval for actions from the government. That doesn't happen here. Our regulator in the U.S. is totally independent, and our operators follow. I mean, they and if you've been in a control room, and we can take you to one sometimes. I mean, they have a manual in front of them that when this happens, this you do this. But they also have the ability, in emergency situations, if they feel that the health and safety and protection of the public and employees requires doing that instead of this, they have the right to do that and not to work it up some chain in the midst of something going on. They also go through extensive training in those emergency things and so forth, and we're not sure all that was operating the same way over there. So.
That's very interesting. I believe Senator McGuire and then Senator Harrell.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. It's good to see you again, Mr. Cohen. We've had the privilege of having a discussion about this, and I toured a nuclear plant so that I could be educated on this issue. And so it's good to see you, and we've had conversations about this, and my concerns continue to be around the waste. From what I know about nuclear energy and seeing the plants, I would probably support it if it wasn't for the waste. But unfortunately, there is waste, and so we do want to figure out what to do with that, I think, before we continue to increase our use of nuclear energy. So I am supportive of trying to figure out what to do with the waste, but I am concerned about it just being sent somewhere else. Like, I do think that we ought to take care of our own waste. If we're going to have it in our state, we should take care of it. But I know that's really controversial, and we ought to honor our contracts. I mean, if we told communities we would take it away, I can't say that we shouldn't take it away, but if Minnesota has nuclear waste, we probably should take care of our – if we have nuclear energy, we probably should take care of our own waste, which I'm really nervous about. So I'm thinking, as you and I have had conversations too, and as I'm thinking about this, the communities of Yucca Mountain and all of that, the reason that they aren't able to site there is because they have elected officials that feel like a lot of us who probably don't want this in their community. So even if a local town would say we want it, the next level of representation is going to be against it. And then the next level, and we go up to the Harry Reid's, we go up to the high levels, and if you have powerful enough people in government, they're going to not site it there. So I do worry about the communities. If they have people that aren't in power, that aren't powerful, they're just going to get it cited there whether they might want it or not. So I'm a little concerned about that. And so I'm curious whether we're ever going to be able to cite it as long as we have, a representative form of government where communities are nervous about this waste. I mean, we've already heard from Red Wing, people are nervous to buy there because they're worried about the nuclear storage there. So I'm concerned about the waste and how we're ever going to cite it. I'm hopeful that maybe research will prove will prove that we can find some safe way to do it, but I'm just not sure that that's going to happen.
Yeah. So, Madam Chairman, Senator McGuire,
help me with this.
Sure, be happy to. I can tell you for certainty, because I know them very well in this case, every state legislator from these two counties and surrounding area are very supportive of this facility. Secondly, even with all that support, that if this is going to be done there, as it should have been done in Nevada or should be done anywhere, is that there needs to be a strong effort to sit down, to talk with those folks, to explain it to them, to answer their questions, to show them what it is. We have taken people from communities to see storage. If you see the storage facility at the San Onofre nuclear station on the beach south of San Clemente. It's a rather seductive location. But the fact of the matter is that the storage casks for nuclear waste are just adjacent to where the employees eat lunch. I mean, and you can walk around, you can stand there, they are safe. And so it's information, it's education, it's outreach, it's being open, it's being honest and transparent. And in my experience, when you do things that way, you can get support and you can make some things happen. So those folks in those communities, and when we say the local community support, We mean not only the mayor and the county commissioner, but we mean the state legislators. And as I said, the governor just the other day, the Secretary of Environment for New Mexico made a public statement. We're very interested in these facilities. We're going to make sure they're safe. So it is we think that the notion of, you know, not on planet Earth is a myth and NIMBY, that you can, but you have to do it right. And it wasn't done right for Yucca Mountain. It was imposed. They didn't have that kind of choice. And if you went back to them now in some process, I have no idea what the result would be. But we can have this facility built within 10 years or less. We can start moving this fuel. It is not a complicated, it's not a reactor. There are no moving parts. It's a concrete pad with the right security and other things, and you put the right other buildings around it, and you make sure you have the system for how the casks come in and get stored. And if you can do that, you begin to break the log jam, and you can see that, and other people can see it's safe, it moves, it can work, and then we can go back to the broader issue of nuclear. So that's kind of, I feel confident that is possible, and that I have enough experience working on nuclear issues with communities and at all levels of government that we can do this.
Can I have a follow-up, Madam Chair?
Senator Koch, did you have comments?
I did, Madam Chair, and Senator McGuire and others. What I would draw your attention to, and again, this resolution doesn't indicate a spot. It doesn't discuss a preference for any spot. And the report doesn't talk about, the Blue Ribbon Panel does not discuss the location. But what they do talk about, and what is being supported by this resolution, is that the act should be modified to allow for a consent-based process to site, license, and construct multiple storage facilities with adequate capacity. As Mr. Cohn said, Yucca Mountain at the time was mandated by the NWPA. It was, decided at a congressional level that this is what was going to be happening. This proposes a different process. I think if we've learned something from this experience is you probably need to consult with the locals and the state in general to make certain that they're okay with it. And so while I still think we need to move forward with the permanent repository, and that could or may not be in Yucca Mountain, the point with this is to say, let's get something, let's support this Blue Ribbon Panel discussion. Let's talk about interim storage for right now, this consolidated interim storage. Let's get the waste moving. Let's unplug that drain, if you will, because it is not going away. It is a reality. It's here, and it is not it's not something that, we care to have sitting for the next, 100, 200 years on a pad in Monticello. That's not realistic. It's just not.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you both, Senator Koch and Mr. Cohen. So now I have another question about the transportation of the – I'm reading this quickly. Do we have a transportation component they figure out how to safely transport it? Because that's what this is going to be then, transported to some place. And then the second question is there one place that will ever be able to – that will be able to store all of this, or will they'll eventually need multiple places, I'm guessing, as we go along, if we continue to use nuclear the way we're using.
Madam Chairman, Senator McGuire, if you look, there is some discussion of transportation and the things that need to be done on transportation in this executive summary, and there's longer discussion in the full committee report, which is available online, of course, that you can get, and we can get that to you. We fully recognize that transportation is going to be a critical public component of this, and the commission even recommended that more resources be put to communicating, talking with local governments, local officials, so that they're educated, they're informed. I mean, a lot of people will be involved in this from the state level, from the local level, emergency people, first responders, and so forth, who have a lot of experience seeing what goes through their communities, be it nuclear material that now goes through lots of places in the country, or being it hazardous chemicals or any other thing like that. So clearly that has to be done, and done in the right way, and we will support that. And I've been talking about doing that for 2 years with inside of NEI. With respect to quantities, the land available in New Mexico is sufficient for all the casks that currently exist and more. The issue, as you may recall, with Yucca Mountain was, as people will say, it was designed for a certain amount of tonnage, And what's out there now, because of all these delays and things, exceeds that tonnage. So that, again, will have to be considered if we can get to a point of making the right policy decision of what repository is necessary, and then estimates. If we reprocess, it's just a very different thing. If we don't reprocess, then we know what we have, and they're going to need more space than would have been available at Yucca Mountain.
Can I have one follow-up, Madam Chair? Just a quick one. Thank you. I appreciate your indulgence. Do we need to put something about transportation in this resolution, or is that already sort of in, is it
I can address that, Madam Chair.
Sarah Cole.
Senator McGuire, thank you for the question. The question of transportation is important. We don't need to, and here is why. Let me give you – first of all, there is a plan for transportation related to Yucca Mountain. There will have to be a plan related to any kind of storage site, but I wish that we could get – to that point. We're not to that point. And I'll give you an example. I sit on the Midwest, the Council of State Governments Midwest Nuclear Transportation Committee. There's actually sites. It's stakeholders from every state in the Midwest, people from the Department of Health, people from Homeland Security. NRC joins us, the Department of Energy. It's a wonderful group. And we talk about nuclear shipments. And there are shipments taking place right now very safely, and they have been for, 12 years, around the state, very high-level waste being transported. It's broke. They're dismantling defense sites. That's a different type. That's a different part of the Department of Energy. Okay, so we would talk about those shipments, and I would be interested, but it doesn't apply to Minnesota. We don't have any of these sites. We're not shipping. They don't ship through Minnesota. So you know, I would be interested, but not. And then I'd want to talk about, well, okay, well, how are we going to transport out of Minnesota? I will tell you that the discussion stalls. Because although there is a plan, there's no real recognition in the room that this is going to be happening anytime soon. And the discussions would sort of devolve into, well, what's happening with Yucca? What's happening with the permitting process? We saw a picture of the van that took the Department of Energy permit to the NRC because they actually did permit it. And we watched the van carrying the stacks and stacks that were the permit request. But that's all the further that we get. And so there's tremendous frustration. The transportation issue is incredibly important. What order the waste will be removed, the line we hear about, the queue, if you will, that's important. But we can't get to that until we have this taken care of. And so we need to get some policy related. We need to get the movement started. And then there are mechanisms in place to move in and talk about safe transportation and to talk about how it moves and when it moves. That's important, but it just simply doesn't move without this recognition. And I wish we could do more. I wish we could go to Washington and, you know, I mean, but I think this resolution will send a strong message and why it's important. I would argue that expanding the building of nuclear power plants would send a strong message. If the state started lifting their moratoriums, that's what I always argue, is that will send a message to Washington that we're serious about nuclear waste. I would argue that it gets them moving. But we can have the discussion about my other bill. This is about a resolution to simply say, deal with the waste.
Senator Metzen.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. On the Senator McGuire, there are, to my knowledge, at least two groups. One would be, I believe, an Indian tribe in New Mexico that are very strongly interested in taking these casts. So, you kind of indicated nobody would want these, and that's not a bad point, but there are at least two groups that I'm aware of that would bid on this and would welcome, if you would. Yeah, but they're going to get paid. They're going to get paid pretty well, but maybe Mr. Cohen could.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, just to clarify, this land owned by these two counties and their energy group is not Indian land. Actually, this part of New Mexico does not have.
Madam Chair, there was an Indian tribe I was aware of
a few years ago. On the western side of the state.
Okay, but they're no longer.
Yeah, that we have not had any interaction with them. So this is straight private land that's owned by these two, by this Energy Alliance, which is a public alliance that they're making available for this facility.
And that
Madam
be,
Chair, I wasn't totally wrong. I remember there was an Indian.
There was.
You got it.
And Madam Chair and Senator Metzen, the other point is that right now this isn't a possibility, so who's really going to express interest? It's a little bit like money is put away. It's specifically designated for Yucca. There's no other solution on the table. Nothing's moving. And so I suspect that you'll get other communities stepping forward. I expect that you will. But why would anyone even begin to explore it?
Madam Chair,
Senator Metzen.
On the transportation, I've seen maps and drawings of the routes that these casts would go on. And And I've also seen films on these casts where they probably start out half a mile down the road and hit that block wall, and it doesn't disturb the dry rods in there. And they're going like 60, 80 miles an hour. So it's not like you're going to stand on the side with a shotgun or run a car into it. Or, you know, these things can withstand just about anything. Could you comment, maybe, Mr. Cohen, on that?
Mr. Cohen.
I'm Chairman.
As long as I was wrong on that Indian.
No, you're
maybe I'm right on this.
There's even more to that story, but not for New Mexico. But I won't bring it to that. Yeah, the casts are unbelievably robust in terms of concrete and steel. They're required to be tested in all kinds of way, and I've seen the same films where they're hitting something a lot harder than that wall, that they run them into, and they are there have been tests with respect to airplane crashes. People ask us all the time, if an airplane hits one of these casts, what will happen is that the airplane will disintegrate. And the earthquake that basically took place under the North Anna facility back in August and evacuated everybody in Washington. It's a different nightmare. But that moved the casks maybe an inch or two. And that was it. I mean, they just sat there.
Senator Metzen, you and I have been to Yucca Mountain.
Yeah.
Anybody else in this
room? I wish, Madam Chair, I wish we had some funds around here. It's a very worthwhile trip, but they give you a very good lecture on the whole process ahead
Not
of time.
Not anymore.
Madam Chair, I'll have time next year to go.
I don't think that's available anymore. Senator Metzen.
Should we go on an exploratory deal?
I have time next year. Metzen wants
Senator Magnus just announced his retirement.
Just one more thing. This isn't Yucca isn't downtown Las Vegas. I mean, it's 120 miles out of town. It's an old ammunition target practice site, and it's already contaminated. And the mountain that these things are in would go in. I don't know if anything would penetrate the mountain. But having said that, it's probably not going to go there. So
it's closed, right? Mr. Cohen,
yes,
it's a done deal.
I mean, the other problem is, if the NRC gave it a license this afternoon, it would take 5 to 10 years to get the project to where it was when the license application was submitted, and still a lot more work to be done because everything has been dismantled. I mean, our industry, the engineers, are terrified as to what might have happened to all the documentation that was done, the scientific documentation, so forth. We think it's around somewhere, but our guys are saying 35 years, even if we got the license today for Yucca Mountain. So, given all the political problems that something like Yucca Mountain has, that's why we want it to be licensed. But the fact of the matter is, while that battle goes on, that Zip and the gods are fighting that one out, we think it makes sense, especially if we could get this kind of facility up in 10 years and start moving fuel and then begin the other process of the long-term fuel cycle decisions.
Government at its best, right?
I'm sorry? Yes.
Government at its best.
Yes.
The mountain. That's
federal
a good
government
one.
For sure.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. Senator Howe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Senator Metzen and Mr. Coney spoke to the robustness of the dry cast storage. And I think, I don't know, I think you might have alluded to it, although you didn't speak specifically to it, that I hope one of the things that comes out of the Fukushima incident is that we will, take our storage pools back to minimum configuration and try and find technologies that would reduce the amount of time that these spent fuel rods have to spend in the cooling pool and move more of it into dry cast storage. I just wondering if you wanted to comment on that.
Mr. Cohen.
Sure, Madam Chairman, Senator, yes, and that kind of research is being done. I mean, we fully understand that issue. It's very safe in the pools, and again, when things like earthquakes and things happen, nothing happens to those pools. They're constructed very, very safely. But we also understand that at some point the utilities reach an issue where they need to start moving it out and it moves out safely and so forth. The other thing that, as part of all this debate, you mentioned early on, Senator Rosen, whether Fukushima is impacting the small reactors and things like that. They are proceeding apace. The NRC will be putting in place a design regimen for small reactors. Major companies, Westinghouse, GE, Babcock and Wilcox, others are designing them. I run into a lot of people around the country who are anxious to see where they go because of their flexibility of deployment. So that's happening. And in concert with that, there are four new reactors being built in the South, two being built in Georgia, two in South Carolina. They're using the newest design certified technology. These four are going to be using what's called the AP1000 by Westinghouse, which has additional layers of safety built in terms of passive safety systems, far less dependency on controls that rely on electricity to trigger safety systems and so forth. And so, again, like any other technology, I used to have a cell phone that was this big and weighed 13 pounds. You know, like any other technology, nuclear technology is advancing with a lot of attention being paid to safety. And I think that, you know, for those considering longer term, you know, whether a nuclear reactor makes sense, they're going to see a generation of technology that's really amazing and can ease, we would like to think, ease some of the safety concerns and have gone through all the rigorous process.
So. Where do you see this new technology being used in municipalities? And
I had a state senator from Texas ask me about putting a small reactor on a campus, University of Texas campus, and powering the campus and putting the rest of the electricity up on the grid. These things will range from 25, 45 megawatts to 300 megawatts. Some of the designs are looking at putting one in now and then 10 years from now, connecting another one to it. And so instead of having 300 megawatts, if your demand is such, you might have 600 megawatts. All the flexibility is, to me, what's very powerful about it. And you could power industrial facilities. You could power small towns, campuses. The military is very interesting because they could put a small reactor on a military base and have totally secure power, not subject to any interference from outside. So, 10 years, there's been a lot of different things happening.
Senator Brown, the RDF Fund. That's a joke.
Yeah. I was going to comment on something Senator McGuire said earlier, but at this point I'm just going to let it pass.
Oh, maybe want to comment on what I'm going to say next.
Well, then I may come back.
Okay. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate your indulgence, and I appreciate this discussion that we're having, and because Senator Koch brought it up, and I know we're not here to talk about the nuclear moratorium bill, but I might premise that we should keep the moratorium on until we decide what to do with this waste, because it is problematic. And maybe that would drive the waste issue if we keep the moratorium on, because more and more people would be anxious about that. So I think the moratorium issue might drive the waste, you know, to try to figure out what to do with this waste. So I just wanted to put that out there, Madam Chair, that I think it's the other way around. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Brown. Senator Brown.
Well, Madam Chair, I was just going to comment earlier from your questions on transportation, that when those discussions do come, we may want to look at the type of fuels that would be required to be used in the vehicles transporting this waste.
So
just wanted to comment on that.
Don't you love this?
Trains.
I love energy. It's great.
So,
further questions, Senator Koch?
No, Madam Chair, I'll just conclude. I appreciate the committee's time on this. I think it's important to continue the discussion, and I appreciate that this discussion has gone beyond just this resolution, but into the Blue Ribbon panel, further what they've got, technologies, the Japanese. I think that's important for us to continue to have those discussions, and we can agree and we may agree or disagree on other issues. Senator Metzen and I may agree that the moratorium should be lifted, and Senator McGuire, you have concerns about that. But I think with this resolution, what I hope I'm bringing forward and what I intend to bring forward here really is something that can be, whatever your thoughts are about nuclear power and the expansion or not in the state, we can all agree that the waste is an issue. We can all agree that the federal government has completely left us hanging, with promises, with legislation, and quite frankly, with taking our money and not providing a solution. And so this exhorts them to step up, and it exhorts, a Democrat president and a Republican Speaker of the House and a Democrat Senate Majority Leader. All of them are on the hook. They all need to get something accomplished here.
They fumbled the ball big time.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
I was going to ask.
Senator Metzen?
I don't see Senator Jungbauer here. I was going to, Madam Chair.
Stepped out for a second.
Ask him where he thought we could store this in Minnesota. He said
something better. Senator Metzen.
He did say it.
He did say it.
Yeah. I guess I don't know where it would be, up in the Great Lakes or the.
You really want to open that can of
water. Where it would be. I guess I'd be in kind of. But I mean, he did make a comment that I don't know where.
Senator Box District.
Yeah. South St. Paul.
South St. Paul, that's right.
Down by the Rosen packing plant.
That's right. There are some oral amendments to this bill. And do we need to go through that again? Is everybody comfortable with the author's oral amendments, taking out defense-related waste and some other issues?
We'll just go. There's some. We're removing. For example, on line 1.7, they talk about defense-related. Anywhere where defense-related waste is mentioned, we're not dealing with defense. We're dealing with commercial. So we're just taking it out.
Okay.
Just taking it out wherever it's mentioned in four different places.
Yeah.
So that was an author's amendment I made.
Senator Cope then moves Senate File 2187 as amended, be recommended, passed, and sent to Rules Committee.
Rules.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Congratulations,
thank
Senator
you.
Koch. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Cohen, for
thank
coming
you.
All the way
it's
out.
Always,
it's great to have you
I'd love
here.
To come here and maybe have a chance again. Thank you so much.
We certainly will. Absolutely. Thank you, members. Let's see. Thursday, we've got Senator Rosen's Renewable Development Fund Reform Bill. Oh. And then we also have Senator Chamberlain's Energy Forward Pricing Bill. So hopefully we will get that taken care of. With that, meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Hey, Ray, how much did you pay for that announcement?
Okay.
What?
Mr. Cohen, very nice. Thank you. It's always good
to
see you.
Right. We're stuck in
so there we have it. Thanks for indulging me.
You're going to have a free ride.
Where are we going?
When was she here?
Huh?
This guy. He's
oh, that's fabulous. Marvelous. So I heard that the drinks are on you then.
40 minutes.
Oh.
Hey, you're going to go back to the other building?
I might be the committee.
No,
where
that?
Do we get Papa in this building? Do we get Papa in here?
Oh, what is that?
Where? What's it cost?
I'm sure you guys want to keep that.
This guy is good.
Go to that. Where is that? It's
he's really good.
Water Street Inn.
Hey, why are you headed off? She had a Thursday night. Thursday night. Me and you. Me and you.
Never mind.
The Bobby Water. Bobby Water's good.
Putting in your seat.
Oh,
I don't know. Granite. Somewhere granite.
St. Paul. Endorsed anybody. How do I know? Nobody's.
I
had to free it up for anybody.
I guess so. Marshall.
Yeah.
No,
we gotta go. It's a good meeting. That was really good.
Yeah. All right.
Jim McGuire's
been
brought up the deal. Yeah, she's got every right in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's a greater man. There was no man.
So were you guys getting university?
On what?
On fire.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
That's
not fair. No. That violates. So it's not going to be what they like.
Yeah.
Yes, they've been in a couple of years.
Well, it should be fun for today.
No, we got a pilot.
Oh, absolutely. I'm like, end of story. Care and pensions
tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I had to get out that bridge.
But then
they have no time limit. You'll go to the
good.
Yeah, what's your name?
Nicholas. Senator Rawls, I moved that.
That's good. That'll change. But for now, I'm like, I'm not. You're going to come to see me.
Yeah.
Is he doing this?
I told
you. Don't have to vote for my moratorium.
Yeah, there's an old map of it.
I know Minnesota.
Yes.
Is Ken Wright coming up?
There's all those implications about
We're thinking it's going to be it'll be 2 years. Everybody's comfortable.
Representative Klein is working on this.
Oh, good.
And I think
Walls,
and of course, Paulson is really
spoken.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to see you.
Hi.
Here, I can come over there. I don't need to talk across the table.
I have to go to caucus.
Yeah, and I got to go back up to your office in my coat.
Yep, go ahead. You know where you're going? Okay, go out here to that elevator right around the corner. And then it's right there.
And then I'll see you in the restaurant at 6:30.
You got to get Washington to lock the lock.
Well, I agree with that. We do need to figure that part out if they've taken on commitments that we honor those. But We should figure out what to do with this waste before we keep
I'm from Monticello. As you ever know, that was actually I was here for just visiting, and I ran into the guys. I didn't know they were coming. I live within one of my homes. I got two homes. One's probably within a mile. The other one's about a half, or about a mile and a half, 2 miles. We have four probably the third and fourth generation starting to work at the plant. I have more problems at the plant having an XL because they don't seem to. They look for the money. That XL Energy. Mm-hmm. If they're so worried about their bottom dollar, they take their name off there and get that money. That's not good. But anyway, no, they're wrong.
This being a journal.